It's another edition of the Fallscast, brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. We're today, Sunday, November 21st. You know what? I don't know what it's like out there. All I know is it was cold yesterday.
It's cold and dreary today. A little rainy.
It's spitty. It's spitty, drizzly rain with a little bit of ice pellets mixed in.
Yeah. Oh, what was that? Steven.
That was Steve making his throat
yourself
sound.
Down.
That was a very private noise. I'm ashamed that he has put it out here.
Really?
Yeah, winter has officially come to Ohio.
Boo.
We're here with some of our favorite Fallscasters. We hope they're your favorite Fallscasters also, now that I think about it.
We're all you got.
It's 42 and raining, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh.
It's raining?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Drizzling.
Out.
We have Steven and Jennifer Mulay.
Hello.
Howdy doodly do.
And Suzanne and Mike Searle.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. I still
Don't
hate you, Alex.
Put me with
oh,
them.
Haha. Denied. You're stuck.
Ugh.
Paired up.
And I'm Bart, your moderator. And on today's show, we will have Suzanne's interview with Mark Ludwig.
Yeah. That was a long... Mike and I both went there and we talked to him. And I was surprised. I actually like him. I mean, he seemed like...
Good.
You kind of go into it with the preconceived... notion of some of the things that he put out there, and we had a really good talk, and it made a lot of sense what he was doing, and I think that, you know, I would actually, he'd be the type of guy that I could go out and have a beer with, you know what I mean? Kind of like, all right, I actually do like you. We don't agree with everything, obviously. Be respectful enough to have a conversation, which I wasn't sure going into the conversation, but that was why, you know, we decided we wanted to sit down and talk to him, right, to kind of start opening up that conversation instead of all this anger that we have, your side, my side, what are you thinking? And
well, it was pretty polarizing, all the stuff that he was putting on Facebook like a year
very,
ago.
Very. And I think that he addresses that in the interview, that the reason why he did it, and I can respect why he did it, was he was trying to get attention to something, and he knew the way that he talked got the attention, and so it worked. And it's true. It all got us talking. And he's actually talked to the city council people, and he's apologized, and he's now, you know, working with them, and they're having conversations about it. So was it the right thing to do? I don't know. I mean, it sounded like he was kind of questioning it, but at least got people start talking about, you know, State Road and the need of doing something down there, which I think we can all agree that should be maybe where we focus on, and Chestnut, that, you know, areas around there. We did such a great job on Front Street and Portage Trail.
Keep spreading.
I mean, they're trying. But there's property rights. I mean, what are you going to do?
Too much.
Well, it'll be an interesting interview.
Well, I mean, we did stuff on Front Street. Well, yeah, definitely listen to it. He had a good idea. We have a lot of international restaurants down there. He was thinking about maybe what if we did some kind of international
theme
down there. Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like,
that would be really, because that circles into diversity and inclusivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, the area's not, I mean, the French Street was so blighted that it only had one way to go. Once it was fixed up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fucking ghost town. Whereas Front Street, I mean, where State Road, yes, it's not a ghost town though.
No,
I mean,
it's really not.
And there's a few property owners that refuse to sell or refuse to do anything with their property. They keep it up enough to pass code, so they don't have to do anything. So
we addressed that as well.
We
did address that as well. And I thought it was a really good interview. And it was surprising to me how much we actually agreed with each other. You know, maybe we might not agree on a lot of other things, but I was very impressed. So, yes, please stay tuned. Listen to it. It is a long interview. I don't know how much Bart's going to be able to cut out of there, but we talked for about an hour. It was good. I thought there really wasn't a lot of things that needed to be cut out, but it is a long interview.
Maybe we can speed through our podcast.
Did you interview him in person or did you do it online?
We did it in person and we went to his house, and he has a beautiful house.
Beautiful.
Where does he live?
Should we say where he lives?
Say the area. Over off of Grant, behind State Road.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, all right. Gotcha. That area is really pretty.
Very beautiful. It was an older home, and it just had the great old charm, and he had a lot of property, and it was very nice. And when he wanted to meet in person, I'm kind of a Zoom person because I can control the audio and whatnot. And when he wanted to meet, I brought Mike because he's our audio guy, and I wouldn't be able to do it myself.
What do you do? Do you have a laptop, and you have your recording stuff set up on the laptop? Or
there's a
no,
Zoom
I have that little
thingy.
Zoom handheld H4.
Oh, okay, okay.
That I purchased off eBay, and gotcha. I'm still learning it, still experimenting with it a little bit, you know, but I'm like, you know what, let's just do no mics, just do the built-in mics and see what it sounds like.
Okay.
You know, and it picked up a lot better than I thought it was going to.
Yeah,
you know?
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, no, definitely stay tuned. I think our listeners would be pleasantly surprised to see that he is not a monster that we might have thought of a year or two ago when he started, you know, first showing up on social media. So, you know, it just shows to us that, you know, we can sit down and talk, and we should be doing that more often with people that we may necessarily disagree with. I mean, there's obviously some people out there that we would not sit down and talk to.
Yeah, but when you have someone who you're working towards the same goal, right? We all love the city. We want the best for our city. And just, you know, everyone's methodology could be a little bit different. But if you can bring it into some kind of alignment, that's an awesome way to, you know, push forward and, you know, have more civic responsibility and being civil and respectful. So I'm glad that worked out. That's really cool.
Me too. Yeah. Good. Well, stay tuned.
And as always, we'd love to hear your article ideas or submissions of your own work. If you'd like to collaborate with us or just want to see us interview someone specific, or anything like that, just drop us a line at fallsfreepress@gmail.com or via our Facebook page. We love to keep this going, and all your ideas are what's keeping it going.
And we've had some pretty good ideas from listeners, you know, who to interview or an article to write. So, yeah, we definitely listen to it and keep them coming.
And there's a bunch of people I need to get back to.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's not a bad problem to have, right? I mean,
yeah. Also, keep sending your feedback to us via email or Facebook, or review us on whatever podcast catcher you use.
I made a compliment to our Facebook for the city council meeting minutes that we're putting out every week, that she really appreciated that we're doing that. So if our listeners were not aware, once a week we put out what the city council was talking about. So you can check that out. It gives a little summary of it if you're curious on what your city council members are doing.
Absolutely. And speaking of the city, we're always encouraging our readers and listeners to shop local. Did you guys shop anywhere cool this week that's worth talking about?
We went to Village Gardens yesterday for breakfast. Well, actually, it was brunch. We did that after I got my booster shot at an Independence at the Cleveland Clinic facility.
Yay!
Ordering a yay!
Yeah, Steve had an ice pack strapped to his arm a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I feel like I'm in middle school and like I had four friends pound on my arm as a game.
It did hurt.
That is so silly.
Monkey bubble.
Yeah, but that's about it. Gabe got Chen's and we snitched some of his food. He got a dish we've never had, bean curd. So,
no.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It was good.
Yeah. Mushu pork, beef lo mein, and
bean curd.
And bean curd.
Yeah, it was good. It was almost like it was wrapped in a fried egg, this little piece of fried egg.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was tasty.
I just snitched one.
But, you know, I don't mind tofu either when it's made right. So
I don't know if bean curd is tofu.
It's not tofu. I mean,
it's beans. So anyway, it was strange, but tasty.
And then Gabe also, we didn't eat there, but our son did. He ate at the Blue Door since it's remodeled. We've been remodeled. The kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And
he said there are a lot more booths.
A lot more booths, and I guess it's like nicer and more upscale and whatever.
Yeah. Nice. That's great. We were going to go for our anniversary last month, and they were closed for the, I think it was for the remodeling, wasn't it, Mike? So good. I'm glad they're open again, and it looks nice. Yeah. How about you, Bart? Did you go anywhere?
No, I did not go anywhere in the falls this week.
Neither did we. Maybe we need to rectify that.
I made a trip with my family out to Hermitage, Pennsylvania yesterday.
Oh.
To Kranich's to see their Christmas display.
Yes, we took the kids there one time. That's great.
Got myself a lovely Bigfoot ornament.
Nice.
To hide it in the tree.
Yes.
Search.
We have a correction.
Uh-oh.
Bean curd is tofu. Steve just
said
it's
like the Japanese word for tofu, and they said it was a Chinese invention. Very strange.
Very strange.
It was tasty.
Ah, that kind of sounds interesting. I might want to try that. I do like tofu.
I went through this a while back when I tried making it. You have to buy the low moisture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's regular kind and the low moisture stuff. And because the more moisture.
It's firmer.
It's firm. The more moisture is like mushy. It's got a grosser texture.
Right.
It's hard to cook.
It is.
Hard to fry because there's too much water in it. So you get the drier stuff is more expensive because it's condensed and it's heavier and it's hard. It takes longer to make and all that kind of shit. So, yeah. when you buy the stuff with water, you have to figure out a way to get the water out of it first.
Yeah.
Or you can cook. And so,
Mike used to do that with paper towels and trying to get it all out and squishing it. And
put some heavy on it.
It's very bland. Mm-hmm. And once you start adding spices to it, it takes on the flavor or whatever you're cooking.
It just takes on the flavor. I mean, I will add some tofu into my smoothies and it just kind of gives it a little more smoother taste. And you can't really taste it that much. I mean, it just kind of gives you a little extra.
Yeah. I've never heard of tofu in a smoothie. Wow.
Yeah. You get that, like, the silken kind of, like, the silky. Texture. It adds a little, and there's
like
not much flavor to it.
Like thickening or?
It thickens it a little bit, yeah.
And as always, be like Steven and get your vaccine.
Yeah.
So onto our roundtable discussion. This week, Dr. Todd Nichols stepped down as superintendent of Cuyahoga Falls Schools. He's led the school system for the last 10 and a half years and wasn't due to retire until 2025, but he is officially retired as of this week and will basically be paid for the rest of the year with vacation pay and all that.
Yeah, it's just accrued time that he has.
Yeah.
Did any of you read his resignation letter? I did not read it yet.
I did not.
I read pieces of it.
What was your takeaway?
I will have to read the whole thing. It was like pieces of it in an article that I read.
Gotcha.
I bet the pandemic just fried him.
Yeah, you know, he's...
He was probably pulled in so many directions, he's tapped out.
And he's probably has a lot of people, a lot of pressure, and a lot of people don't like him, and he's, you know, and that's tough on anyone.
I am kind of curious whether or not he would be I think not, but what do you think about a lot of schools do the retire, rehire kind of situation where someone retires and then they rehire them back.
Like in a different position?
Or at the same position and that's what they do. Oh. Maybe it's a way to
which is weird.
Get more money.
Well, I mean, we're speculating at this point, and we have no inside information. This is just me speculating right now, but I am curious why he decided to retire early when he still had time on his contract. Is it anything to do with the new school board coming in? Is it because people don't in the community necessarily like him?
Well, he's been on sick leave too for a while.
He was on sick leave. Was there something else going on medically? Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what happened, but
maybe he needs to work on his health.
At Wednesday's meeting, it was approved for Summit County Educational Service Center to find an interim superintendent.
But your notes say a Super Nintendo.
Yes,
Super Nintendo.
It does say Super Nintendo.
For a video game.
Yes.
Well, the interim superintendent was going to, or the pro tem superintendent is going to be the HR person, correct?
Yeah.
So in the meantime, while they look for somebody.
Gotcha.
And from that, we go to sewer rates hiking up.
Crappy.
Yeah. By quite a bit.
Yeah. Summit County Council is looking either this week or the following week to consider the measure. They haven't raised the prices for the sewer rates in quite some time. But last time was in 2015. It was only a 10% reduction for the flat rate.
Reduction?
Yeah, that was a reduction back then.
Hmm.
They're talking about a 10% increase?
Or
50? Was it 14%? I can't remember. 14.
Where'd you see that information?
Akron Beacon Journal.
Okay.
Okay, so in the first year, it'll be 28.5%, and then it's 2.5 and 3.5 for the next 3 years.
Oof.
Yuck. We had big-ass increases, like, maybe 10 years ago when they were doing that gigantic overhaul.
Well, they worked on that thing for
it was
a long
years.
Time, and they just finished it recently.
The last year or two. Yeah, but we've been paying on it for years and years.
It was a very, very expensive upgrade. It was like a lot of money. It was millions and millions of dollars.
I know. It was like a 50-year upgrade, but I thought we were already paying lines? For that.
In for like sewer lines or water lines?
Akron. It was all over Akron. It was like in Merriman Valley, and it was everywhere.
It's down in the valley. It's you know where Brico is, the restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's right near there.
Hmm. Yeah, there was construction.
Is it the one where they were going from the open leach pits to the closed leach pits? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. And they put a giant, huge pipeline in there. I think it was huge.
Yeah, it was like 6 feet tall or more.
It was more than that.
They were gigantic. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's better than pouring sewage into the river.
We don't want to dump sewage into the river. And you know, well, damn, maybe this fucking Build Back Better or the infrastructure bill will help ameliorate the cost of that.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
I don't expect that the state will ever give us any of that money to lower our bill, but they should.
I wonder if any of that money will go towards taking out the Gorge Dam.
Possibly.
So from sewers to Chipotle.
It's usually the other way around. Chipotle to sewers.
A second false Chipotle.
No, that's Taco Bell.
I've had the same results. A second false Chipotle should be opening late December at Graham and Hudson. And we're also going to be getting a new Harbor Freight in the Old Borders location.
It's open.
It's already open.
Yeah, we drove by yesterday and it's grand. Open, now open.
Really?
Oh, Michael.
Steve
almost tried to drive across the median to go in.
Right over top of the
hill.
Yeah.
The burn.
Do it.
The devil strip. Go right into the
park. Oh, no. Devil stripping.
Oh, man.
So that's good news.
Chipotle.
I don't know.
I thought it was a Chipotle Express. I didn't think it was a full Chipotle.
What's the difference?
Well, one of the giant Chipotle, one that,
yes, the one from what I heard, it was pretty much online or phone in orders only, just like a drive through pickup kind of thing. It's no, like Steven said, no dining room.
A pandemic evolution.
Yeah. Huh. Well, the one on Portage Trail is a hot mess. I don't know if anybody's tried to order for them. I mean, they definitely need some assistance.
Which one?
The one on Portage Trail.
No.
We usually go in. We don't usually order at that one online.
Yeah, we go in.
We just go in. It's quicker.
The one on Chapel Hill is pretty good. I mean, they're pretty quick, but maybe that will help alleviate some of the pressure on the Portage Trail and be able to get a little quicker. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why we need multiple ones, but hey, whatever. I mean,
because people gotta get your Chipotle. Sort of like don't want to go down to where the Target is, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Chipotle's my life. We're so cool. Bart. We're so cool.
Bart doesn't think so.
The children will appreciate that. The youngins.
Will they?
Yes, will they? They will.
Will they?
They'll be like, wow, they're so hip and cool.
That's exactly what they won't be thinking.
We are definitely not hip and cool anymore. That's a given.
Hip and cool means ice on the hip because you fucked yourself up.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or your knee.
My walker. Or my knee.
Or your knee, because my Jennifer hurt her knee. Now she's has an ice pack and a strap on her knee.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I woke up today with a really bad pain in my arm. Like, I can barely lift. Like, if I lift it like this, it hurts a lot. I start thinking that it's, like, cancer in the bones. That's it. I'm dying. I'm just old. I'm old.
Well, my back constantly goes crunch, 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 crack, 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 crunch, crunch, crunch. Just doing normal things. And then when I go to bend over, it feels like somebody punched me in the back about 50 times and picked something up. So
super fun, right?
Yeah.
It's a fun thing, you know, getting out of bed and swinging the legs out and going, okay, give me a minute before I stand up, let everything adjust, and then walk across the floor. And is that me creaking or the floor creaking?
It just gets worse, guys. I'm 53. It just gets worse. It's going downhill.
Thanks for the update,
Steve. I was where you are a while back. Now I'm worse.
Yay, something to look forward to.
More alcohol. That's what I need.
Lubrication.
No, Aleve. And marijuana gummies.
So apparently, just back on November 1st, PNC Bank on State Road was robbed.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. The Cleveland FBI are currently investigating.
That's happened a couple. They've been robbed a couple times recently this year, haven't they?
The same bank?
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the PNC Bank. It was another bank. Maybe the bank on Portage Trail or something. Another bank.
Is that Ohio Savings?
Something like that.
Talking about that one?
Yeah.
Man, I used to work for a bank, and they would have, like, the protocol if somebody was coming to rob you and what you would do.
You just give them money.
You just give them the money, but you also have to give them, like, the thing that poof.
The dye pack.
The dye pack. Yeah. And then if there's, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't be talking about this. Is this, like, but this was back, like, you know, when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, so I'm sure there's more technology out there. But it would be in your
shells and gems.
Yeah.
And currency.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you would go and try to rob a bank, but there's so much security involved. There was one story that you could keep this or take this out for it. I don't care. But this was, I mean, I was 20, 21 maybe when I worked at a bank. But they would tell the story during training that somebody came up to the drive-through and tried to rob the bank in a drive-through. And they pointed a gun, and the teller just started laughing. And he's like, why are you laughing at me? It's like, this is bulletproof glass here. What are you going to do? You know? So, I mean, it's like, oh my
God. Damn.
I actually have a giant sheet of that bulletproof glass in my garage. I bought it one time at Rex's.
Did really? You?
Yeah,
you can make our cars out of it.
It is so heavy.
Very heavy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I hope they catch them. That's scary. I mean, I couldn't imagine if that ever happened to me working at a bank, what I would do. I mean, another story was that a teller saw a guy that came in with a gun, and she was quick enough to think, she put the, you know, see the next one, like, see the next teller or something. She's like, I'm sorry, I'm on break, and put the teller and walked away and gave people enough time to alert the police what was happening, and it confused the robber so quickly that that happened, that they were able to get the help, and the security guard was there and was able to take him down. So they were talking about that stuff, and I'm like, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's not going to be me. You know, I'll be like, whatever you want. Yeah, if you want to go into the vault.
Don't be a hero. It's not worth your life. Just give it to them and let the police handle it later. That's all.
Absolutely. It's not my money. I mean,
I don't know many people that – I don't personally know many people that sit around and fantasize about being the hero.
No.
I mean, for someone else's money, too. For someone else's money.
That's insured.
That's insured by the federal government.
It's insured by the federal government. I mean – yeah. The sucky thing would be if they get into the security boxes and take anybody's valuables and stuff. But
It would take too long.
Yeah. To be able to get in. I mean, that vault is locked and there's timers on there. You can only go in and out of there certain times on certain things. So, I mean, it's just there's a lot of protocol in there. So I don't know. I don't know why people would decide to hit a bank. Nuts. It's nuts. They do have a picture of the guy that they're looking for on the media, social media. You're probably sure you can find it. But he is wearing a mask and he's wearing a hood. Hoodie or whatever, but you know, take a look if you know the guy. Definitely.
I have a funny story. When I was in high school, some kids I went to high school with and people that my brother knew,
they were in my class.
They were in her class and they were on the ski team and they were very good skiers and they robbed the local one of the local Hudson Bank.
Oh
and
gosh,
they, it was a Charter One.
It was Charter One.
Was and it? And then it became.
I don't know. It doesn't matter what it was.
Yeah.
All it was in downtown Hudson, and they had President of the United States masks on because they
were emulating Point Break.
I was just going to say.
And they had shotguns and everything.
Yep, they were
and they
armed.
Did fire into the ceiling.
Yep.
And they got caught because one of the kids couldn't stop himself from bragging.
Bragging to some chick at a bar.
Or at a party.
At a party or something.
And it was to get money to go ski on a ski trip.
Yeah. No, basically they wanted to be ski bums for the rest of their lives.
No, they wanted to go on a ski trip.
Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And they got caught. They served prison. They served prison time.
Well,
they're out now. Of
course, they're out. One of them actually tried to friend me on Facebook.
What? No, thank you. Wow. I mean, that's like a federal crime. I mean, you're going to go down.
Well, it is a federal crime. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they went to federal prison.
Yeah, that is just don't
and
do
they,
it.
And they were armed. They had used guns. I mean, they could even be even worse. Nowadays, the penalty would probably be worse than it was then.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, we have a discussion that's been going around social media lately concerning the Calga Falls Police and Fire Dispatch.
Yeah, there was a little post on social media about that.
A temporary ordinance, which hasn't been completely brought before city council, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And this has been in talks for the last couple of years about whether to move the dispatch center for police and fire to a new location.
Right. In Talmadge, right by where the Weaver School.
It is the former Weaver School.
Weaver School. Yeah.
I'm in favor of a move that'll save money as long as we're not losing any services.
Right. I mean, there was an article about it on Akron Beacon Journal back in, I think it was April. Did you say, Mike?
It was one in April of 21 and one in October of 19.
I think that it's important to point out that this is just for the dispatch services. And the reason why that they're looking at doing this is that the state says that you can only have 4 dispatch centers per county. So if you have your own individual dispatch center, then you really don't get the funds for the dispatching tax. So the city has to pay for it themselves. And there is the equipment needs to be upgraded. You need to make sure that you're in the state of the art, you know, equipment to be able to pinpoint a person who's calling's location. There's a whole slew of reasons why this might be a good idea. We were discussing this before we came on to try to think of what the negative aspect of it may be. And the one concern that I think we all shared was, will anybody lose any jobs over this? And according to the article, if Summit County is saying that if you become a founding member of this dispatch center, then they will hire all of your people, you know, that they'll interview and they'll, you know, go through that route. But the people that are in Cuyahoga Falls dispatch will get first bid on the job. So if they want to, you know, keep their job and go to the Talmadge area, they can. So I think that would be a positive of getting started in the ground up level instead of waiting for this to see if it works or not. I mean, they're talking about getting state-of-the-art facilities, state-of-the-art technology. Mike, what were you talking about, the cell phone, that there's this new...
Currently, if you make a cell phone emergency call, the accuracy is about one city block. And with this new dispatching system, computer dispatching system, you can pinpoint that accuracy down to a foot. So, I mean, if you're in one of the metro parks, that's a hell of a lot better, you know. But
I know the old standard for GPS was 3 feet. So it's even better than standard GPS.
Correct. Right. And like we were talking, the communities that are interested in participating are Cuyahoga Falls, obviously, which dispatches for Boston Heights, Silver Lake, and Monroe Falls, Fairlawn and Stowe, which dispatches for Mogador and Talmadge City, as well as the Summit County Sheriff's Office, which dispatches for Coventry, Lakemore, Green, Summit County Metro Parks, Northfield Center, and Twinsburg Township. So all those would be into one consolidated facility, which is huge.
And that's major. And then we're able to benefit from the tax money that we pay into for the dispatching service to be able to go into the upgrade of the equipment and paying for the dispatch services. If we kept it in-house, there's a potential that we would have to pay additional tax for that. And our equipment may not be as up-to-date as what we would like. I mean, this is not a given. This hasn't even, like Bart said, it's not anything that has gone up to city council that we're aware of. But this has been talked about for a couple years. I know that Summit County is in the process of doing construction on the building to get this ready. So I'm not exactly sure. This will probably be in a discussion shortly, I'm assuming. Maybe we can reach out to some of our city council members and ask them what their opinion is, or maybe the mayor, to see what he thinks or that it may be talked about in the council. So if, you know, residents are concerned or would like to talk about it, maybe we can follow up and let them know when this is going to be discussed, or they can, you know, talk to the city council meeting about their concerns.
It almost sounds like the state wants to force everyone to do it, and so that's the writing on the wall. Whether we want to do it or not.
Right.
Well, that was the same thing with Rita, too.
Yep.
That there were some state mandates going to be coming down about consolidating tax collections.
Right. Right.
And I know that was one reason why they decided to go ahead and move into the RITA for tax.
Yeah, if the city is forced to pay for everything by themselves, and we're talking millions of dollars, wouldn't those millions of dollars be better spent elsewhere?
Spread out over multiple municipalities.
Yeah, I mean, because that could go towards the millions of dollars that it would cost would come out of directly out of our pocket. It would be a loss.
Right.
So you'd have to make that income up. So it would impact other city
services.
Right.
It's just a no-brainer to try to do this. And if they sounds like if they get in on the ground floor, which they have the opportunity to do,
they're not going to lose staffing.
Yes. So maybe they should jump on it soon before it's too late. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like to me.
And that's kind of what I'm getting too from what I'm reading. So, yeah.
And some of the other things, I just read a thing here. It says emergency personnel are able to see the important information before they arrive on scene, including a person's medical history, a door code for faster entry. Each call is displayed on a customized dispatch map with up-to-date information such as locations of fire hydrants and their flow rates, road closures, and traffic.
Wow.
So it's like,
a complete modernization of the system.
How many years old was this system, Mike? How many years old?
24 as of 19, so you're 25 and some change years old.
How far the cell phone technology and pinpoint has gone?
Was your cell phone 25 years ago?
That's a long time.
No, correct. Yes, I mean,
to me, it's like, you know, you're kind of hitting the ground running as far as an emergency situation. So you have a lot more information so you can walk in the door and know exactly what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, or what's going on. Is somebody having a mental health crisis and do they have a history of something like that? So you're not rolling up on scene, you know,
and not exactly
going full force and not knowing that, hey, this person might just be having an episode. You know, we don't need to show up guns drawn or whatever, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think that a lot of it sounds very positive. I am curious to see what, you know, the residents have to say about it and also what the city council has to say and the mayor has to say about it. I mean, I don't know. It seems to me like a no-brainer. It makes sense to me if you can get into the ground up on something. You see, like Steven said, the writing on the wall that this is going to happen. And if the state is pushing for a reduction of dispatching services, then, you know,
you're saving taxpayer dollars.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could interview someone about this topic when there's a little more information or when they have a plan fomented.
Absolutely, it's a good idea. I wanted to talk about, did you guys see the high-speed chase that went through the falls last week?
With that truck?
No.
Yeah. No. So there was some woman's truck was stolen. It was a red, like, Dodge Ram, and someone stole it. And then a few days later, the person was seen driving through the falls, and the cops chased them through the city at high speeds, like multiple 2, 3, 4 cop cars. I don't know the specifics. I just know via social media. So who the hell knows the accuracy of that shit, obviously.
Right.
But yeah, they're chasing these people through the city at high speeds, and then the guy winds up crashing into some old lady's car, and then they arrested him. But, you know, there's a big thoughts on this. If they would have let him go and caught him elsewhere, maybe they wouldn't have caused this accident. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but this could have gone south really easily. If the guy was, you know, was driving to the city and decided just to ram into something at high speed, could have killed somebody. All because the police went to pull over a car that was stolen.
Yeah, it was a stolen car. It's not like, oh, there was a drug deal, there was violence, there was a robbery.
It was a stolen car. Yeah, I mean, was that really worth risking the public's lives over a car?
Well, that's the argument Cleveland had to deal with, you know, just recently or within the past year or two. Are the high speed chases warranted if it puts the public at risk? You know, because plenty of people have died from accidents, you know, resulting from that crash. There's a certain type of person,
authoritarian type person that believes they did something wrong. They should be, the most violence we could possibly put on that person. To put them down, to make them something they never do, and make them punish them because they stole that car. It's so bad, naughty.
Take a breath.
I mean, they fucking,
take a breath, these fucking people. Take a breath.
I mean, it's like violence because the person broke the law. They deserve that. We're supposed to let them go. Well, no, yeah, you should.
Well, to have a car, you're required to have insurance. So the car was insured.
Right. So, is it risk putting other people's lives in danger?
If it could have been an older car, maybe she didn't have insurance or they didn't have insurance for theft.
Well, I think theft is included in...
Not liability. No, it's not.
Liability
yeah,
only?
That's
only if you cause an accident.
Correct.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, I don't know what... It didn't look like an old truck.
Did they say what neighborhoods they were doing a high-speed?
They probably did, but I couldn't tell you.
I'll do a quickie search.
But yeah,
I know that a lot of police forces, they have to make this decision whether or not they need to back off on a chase when it starts becoming dangerous to other people. I mean, if you're going through, Cuyahoga Falls does not have a lot of open space where you can do.
Can you imagine people going down Broad Boulevard at 80 miles an hour? I mean, that's, someone's going to get killed.
someone is going to get killed. I mean, you know, a kid could be crossing the street, riding a bike, you know, whatever the situation is. And
there, I mean, there aren't a lot of places in the falls where you could haul ass like that. Right. I mean, without trying to hurt, without hurting somebody. Unless you're on the highway, then that's, you know, but still.
Well, even at this point with this new system, I mean, right now you're currently, you know, just radioing your position and where you're going and following a little bit. But this newer system could actually track the vehicle and the route of where the person's going much more accurate. And you can also intercept quicker.
Or maybe get ahead of them, throw some spike to give them some flat tires.
If you can interact with the other cities and their police force and you know that they're going to a certain route, yeah, you could definitely keep a track on him as best as you can and then just let the other city know.
That's a pro over centralized dispatch.
It is, so they can keep track of what is going on. And I just want to say one thing about this centralized dispatch, because there was a lot of misinformation or misunderstandings about this. This has nothing to do with our police force or our firefighters. They will remain in Cuyahoga Falls if we decide to go this route. This is just for the dispatching services. So,
and
you know, we
some
will
of
still
the people, have... Some of the arguments against that were that the people in Cuyahoga Falls aren't going to know Stowe, or they're not going to know Akron, or they're not going to know those other communities, which to a point is true, but while
this
is
2 years...
That's
what Google Maps is for, and we
have
so much technology now.
This is going to take about 2 years to complete, and according to the article, and during that time, dispatchers will be cross-trained, you know, to learn the other communities, you know, so they can kind of hit the ground running. They're not just going to be walking in blindsided, not knowing those other communities,
right.
You know.
And it's right there on the corner of Stowe in Cuyahoga Falls. I mean, it's a really good neighborhood. So if we can get our dispatchers from Cuyahoga Falls right now.
If that system is that advanced, you know which dispatchers are working at which terminal and they're going to know which city. So if there's something that's, you know, you can forward that call or not forward it, but, you know, you can steer that call to that individual.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, I know a little bit about Stowe and a little bit about Talmadge, but I'm not going to know it as much as somebody who lives there. You know, so you could steer that to that person real time. And
they can become experts of that area. Somebody becomes expert of those neighborhoods in those areas. I mean, I will be curious to see. I mean, I'm sure that there has to be some cons to this. We were trying to think of what would be a con, and one of them would we lose any jobs on it? But that seemed to be alleviated with the fact if we become a founding member of this, that they would look at our dispatchers first for the job. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if we're going to save money, we're already paying, we as taxpayers are already paying a tax for a dispatching service. We would still have to continue to use that dispatching tax to pay for other communities. And then if we want to keep it in-house, we would also probably have to pay for our dispatching services as well, if this is the way the state of Ohio is going. So it's things to consider. It was a good conversation that was being had, other than some people that were trying to spread misinformation. But, you know, we should continue to have this discussion.
Some people would do anything to try to make this administration look bad.
Yeah.
Whether it doesn't matter if it's their fault or not, they're going to try to make it look like it's their fault.
Yeah.
And that's their goal. It has nothing to do with the truth. Just, you know, perception.
You got to ignore that noise there. But I thought that it seemed to me like there was some legitimate concern and questions on it, and they were very fair questions. So I think that we should continue to have this discussion to see if this is something that we support as a community.
If you're worried about it and you're concerned about it, please contact your local city council member, and they will get you the information that you need.
Absolutely. If you don't know who your city council member is, you can go on to, you know, City of Cuyahoga Falls webpage, and I'm sure that if you reach out to the incorrect city council member, they will be more than happy to tell you, you know, and say,
there's
a council map.
They would direct you to it's so-and-so. Go talk to him. Here's their number.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Please, their email address. Yeah. Who's your city council person, Bart?
Is Penta. You Ward 3?
I believe it's Penta, yes.
It's probably Penta.
How about you guys?
Mary
Nichols Rose, Ward 4.
Yeah, we're
you
Ward
guys
2.
Have Susan Spinner?
Yes, yeah. We're Ward 2.
Good discussion, guys. Yay us.
Yay. And speaking of yay, Suzanne, you got good news this week?
Good segue.
Yes, yes. I do have some good news. LaDonya Williams, age 20, and a Woodridge High School graduate used her Red Cross first aid training to save a baby's life after the mother who was rushing to the area hospital crashed her car. On August 22nd, a baby boy stopped breathing and his mother was frantically rushing to the hospital and crashed into another vehicle. According to the Akron Beacon Journal, LaDonya Williams used her training and the baby started breathing again. Akron Police Chief presented her a Citizens Award for her fast response. She told the Beacon, "I don't feel like a hero. I just feel like somebody who was able to help someone in need. And I feel like it is something that anybody who could have had done."
Yeah, I read that this morning. I thought that was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I did read that they ticketed the mother for something negligent. I was like, what? Come on.
I know.
Well,
I
have to, but
I know, because she made an accident happen.
It's understandable why, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
That was the bummer part of it, but I thought that young lady was very brave, and it's hard, you know, when you're in a crisis situation like that, even for trained medical personnel, it's very stressful. Right. Someone starts to code or choke or, you know, knowing that you have to use CPR, it's so good for her.
And that's what training, if you're trained to do that, you trained and thought about this scenario and trained for this scenario over and over again, you're automatically going into that zone where you do it. But if you're not trained for it, like this young woman, brave young woman who did this, she's not really trained for this.
No, it's like one class every couple of years.
So, to step up and do the right thing and without any hesitation.
That, and on a baby, too, even more complicated. Ooh, yeah. So, super
that's
awesome.
That's a big deal.
Go LaDonya.
I wouldn't have known what the hell to do.
No, I've had first aid training. I took CPR and was certified, but there is no way. I mean, who knows? Who knows what I would have done? I've never been in the situation where I had to use it. I do remember one time when I was younger, and I was trained during this time, but my knee started choking on something, and I froze. And I wasn't exactly sure what to do. And I mean, that's kind of scary to think that you just kind of freeze. Like it does, the instincts doesn't necessarily come in. And
well, that's one of the big instincts. Freeze.
Freeze. Like, oh, yeah, danger.
Yeah, so
twice I've actually had to give myself the Heimlich. Like one time I had to fall on a railing.
Really?
I was choking somebody around. Yeah. And I was turning blue and I was almost started to feel like I was going to pass out and I slammed my
diaphragm.
My diaphragm and the thing, and it popped out.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Yeah. Yep, scared the shit out of me.
Oh, I bet it did. Well, good job. I think that's great, and she's a Cuyahoga Falls, well, a Woodridge, you know, but we'll claim her as a Cuyahoga Falls graduate, so good job.
Woodridge counts. That counts.
Woodridge counts, yep.
Woodridge counts.
Hey, guys, guess what time it is? Bart's Arts.
So we'll start off Bart's Arts with just reminding everybody that this week is Thanksgiving.
What?
Food, comma, ensue.
What's going on?
Which means next weekend, next Saturday, is the Downtown Santa? Tree Lighting Festival.
Santa? Santa.
That's so much
featuring
fun.
The mayor and Santa.
Santa.
I am so excited. We went 2 years ago. I don't think they had it last year.
It was virtual last year.
It was virtual last year.
Oh, my God. It's Santa.
It's Santa. I know him.
You sit on a throne of lies. You smell like beef and cheese.
It's the best movie ever. I'm telling you. Oh, I'm excited. I love the tree lighting ceremony. We'll go. We have to go.
So, yeah, just a reminder that starting at 4 o'clock will be the festivities, but the ice rink also opens on Saturday, and that'll open at
noon.
Oh,
okay.
Yay.
Never done that.
There's going to be some ice sculptures there, too, I wonder.
There's going to be ice carving. There's going to be photo ops with different characters. It'll be live reindeer again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? They're doing the whole big thing. I'm so excited.
We got food trucks down there. I guess they've got Jet
Sold.
Pizza. And Holy for Holies.
So
you know what? I have never had Holies for Holies. Has anybody eaten there yet?
Not yet.
They were down at Pride in Akron, and we did get, we got a couple bowls.
Was it good?
It was good. It was very basic. It was a bowl with some special meats and sauces, and so I would like to try their other items. But it was like 90 degrees and sunny and hot as hell. That
just
Pride. So
eat.
We were just like, you know, trying to find, we were sitting on concrete steps and just
rose.
So, yeah, it was tasty, but we weren't in the right frame of mind physically to really enjoy it and give it a good critique.
Do you guys know that there's a street tacos place on State Road?
Yes. Holy Frijoles.
No.
R&D Street Tacos.
I was looking up ugly sweater bar crawls, and because they have one every year, I'm wondering when this one
is. You see where Steve's real priorities are.
Well, I mean, Mike's booze moves, so I'm you know.
Sorry.
Bar crawl. No, there's a street taco place in, on South Side of State Road. Where is it?
No, it's on the north side, way out there on the north side. It's the Valencia place. It's 3883 State Road. So it's out there by Kicks and Cuts. It's in that little Valencia Plaza over by this is at KC Melody's Inn and all that stuff. The only thing, I want to try it, but they're only open Monday through Friday, like 11 to 9.
Okay.
So.
But it is first generation immigration family. Did I say that right? If not, please take that out. And immigrant family, and nobody really knows about them because they're tucked back there and nobody thinks about going in there, but they have.
You had it?
Street tacos. No, we're going to try
not yet,
it.
But we looked at some of the pictures they had, and it's like I wanted to go get it, and it looks
they're
fantastic.
Not open on the weekends. So if anybody has tried them or anything like that, please let us know in our comment section how it was. We're kind of curious to see. We'll have to wait maybe until – maybe we'll try it this Friday.
Yes.
Maybe.
Since
Thanksgiving's coming up, maybe we should talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. What's everyone's plans? Mm-hmm. What are you going to – you going to cook something? What are you cooking?
Well, we had our early Thanksgiving with my dad the day before Kendall left. So we did a Thanksgiving dinner with the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and all that kind of stuff. I think this Thanksgiving, we're just going to just kind of hang at home and maybe decorate for Christmas. I don't know if we're going to do another Thanksgiving dinner, are we? I don't know what we're going to do.
I don't know.
But, you know.
Village Gardens has Thanksgiving dinner every year. You
maybe
can go
we
just
do
go
that.
Sit down and have Thanksgiving dinner there.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. You know, kind of low key, not do too much. I mean, it's kind of, it's sad for me because Kendall's not here, but you did what? You did what?
We took over Bart's Arts.
Yeah, we totally
Bart's sitting there looking all sad.
Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry.
All right, Bart. Thanksgiving time.
Sorry, Bart.
Cooking is an art, so.
Sorry, Bart.
So, well, speaking of all of that, next weekend is also Artist Sunday.
What is Artist Sunday?
Artist Sunday is we have Black Friday. I don't know what Saturday is.
Small Business Saturday.
Yeah. Artist Sunday is supporting local artists. And then the Cyber Monday, which seems like us every day for the last year.
I saw something for December 3rd that I signed up for on Facebook. I thought it was something like Small Business Saturday. The December 3rd, or it's a downtown Falls event, and it's about local businesses.
They might be having like a special event that day.
Okay, all right, but not Small Business Saturday.
But yeah, like for like the shopping, like the big shopping.
The Thanksgiving post weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha,
Yeah. So Artist Sunday is the day to support local artists. They'll have a lot of different the art galleries downtown will be open with deals for everybody. There is an Artist Sunday show at Summit Art Space in Akron. And that same weekend is Crafty Mart, which is also downtown Akron. They have a show both Saturday and Sunday. So that, you know, there's plenty of ways to support local businesses and local artists this next weekend.
And Artist Sunday is going on in the falls too, right?
Yeah, it's going on everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's a national.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Last year was the first year it started.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
I haven't either. That's awesome.
And I think Upfront Art Space, I think, was the only one around here that really celebrated it last year. But then also, on December 5th, the Stowe Symphony will be performing their Christmas concert with its chorus at the Talmadge Alliance Church. And tickets are $12 at the door. So, not the Falls, but still...
Close enough.
Local art.
Falls adjacent.
Yeah.
Close enough. Yeah. Christmas music, can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week, and we want to thank Mark Ludwig for speaking with us again. A super long interview, but super awesome.
Yeah, it's well worth
it. That's good.
So stick around here in a moment for that interview. And remember that we do want to hear your ideas for interviewees, articles, suggestions for the show. Email us at falls3press@gmail.com. Send those things our way. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Go get a shot. Go try to either enjoy the holiday or hate the holiday. Do what you want.
Eat lots of food.
And then just join us next week.
Yeah.
Or join us next time.
Oh.
Good. That's a good one. Yeah. Because we never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We never know.
Bye.
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 Bye. Later.
Welcome back to the Fallscast. This is Suzanne and Mike. We are sitting down with Mark Ludwig. Did I say that right?
You did say that right.
All right. Well, we are actually sitting in his house, and it is a beautiful house, so thank you for having us. Mark is the creator of the Facebook page called Spotlight on Cuyahoga Falls.
Nope.
No. Am I wrong? Wait.
It is.
It was.
Yeah, it was Spotlight on South State.
It was.
Okay.
Formerly right. Known as Spotlight on South State. Yep. So you caught our attention with your videos on local businesses. You interviewed the city council candidates and interviewed Mayor Walters. So welcome and thank you for speaking with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
I look forward to this. We've had a great conversation already before this started. So.
I wish we recorded all of it because it has been good, but we'll try to get back into it. So let's start off by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, like I said, you have a gorgeous home here, and you have four daughters, which my mother came from a household with three daughters, and my grandfather was very, very quiet when we were growing up, and I remember asking my mom why, and she's like, because he had four daughters and couldn't get any word
in. Well, let me tell you, I love my big yard some days.
Yes.
Because I spend a lot of time in it.
Yes, I bet you do.
By myself.
I got to mow again. Yes, your wife's like, why are you mowing again? Well, no, it's really important. It's really important.
You ask me that all the time. I'm like, I got things to do out the yard.
He plows for the whole neighborhood because I have two daughters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm very busy, very busy.
It was funny when Diana Calavecchio came over, she said to me, it looks like you do your thinking when you mow your lawn. You have a big yard here. And she volunteered to come over and mow my lawn.
You're like, no, no, no.
I said, no.
I need that.
Right. So,
that is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, so I am the director of music and organist for St. Mary and Hudson.
Mm.
I've been there for 15 years. I've been a musician my entire life. I taught social studies for a couple years when I lived in Columbus. My wife and I have, you know, we dated when we were 16 and got married when we were 22.
High school sweethearts.
Yes. We never went to the same high school, and that's probably good because she's more sit at the front of the classroom,
mm-hmm.
and I'm more sit in the back of the classroom and make smart remarks. So I don't know that we would have continued our relationship. Although back then I was a lot quieter and a lot more shy than I am now, so who knows?
That's kind of cool. So you lived in Columbus, and you lived in Hudson. So did you grow up in Hudson?
Okay, no. So I didn't live in Hudson. I work in Hudson.
Okay.
So I grew up in Firestone Park.
Mm.
Okay.
So that's where I'm from. And my wife actually grew up here in Cuyahoga Falls. And actually this house, we bought this house from her mom. Her dad had passed away several years ago, and this house is just too big for one person to keep. So we bought the house from her. And we've lived here for 4 years, but we moved from Stowe. So we lived in Columbus for 6, Mansfield for a year, Sunbury for a year, Stowe for like 5 years, and now we're in Cuyahoga Falls. And they can carry me out in a box because I'm not moving again.
I was going to say, what is your favorite place to live? And it's obviously Cuyahoga Falls,
yes.
Right?
I love it here. I love the people as I've gotten to know them, the businesses. It's just a great community. I mean, I love Hudson too. But no one likes to live over shop, right? You know, it's just nice to have a little bit of, I guess, what am I trying to say? I have more freedom in Cuyahoga Falls. I don't know. Does that give you plenty of background?
That
there?
Absolutely.
Sorry, you have to get a little editing there. There's some
sorry,
silence.
Mark. You're going to get you to start saying that now.
Yeah, there's silence. My undergrad degree is in history. I studied music and organ and all that stuff. My master's is actually in choral conducting. So I kind of like to think of myself as a Renaissance man, but I don't know if that's the right word. I just like a little bit of everything.
What instrument do you play?
Organ is my main instrument. I can play piano, any keyboard instrument. I used to play harpsichord. I do have a harpsichord here at the house that's not in working condition anymore, but those are my instruments.
Well, my husband did see the piano when you walk in, and he was very excited because he also is a musician.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. Used to be.
Amateur? Would you say amateur?
Maybe, yeah.
He does bass.
Oh, okay.
I played trumpet for...
Trumpet and... Cuyahoga Falls 12, band.
15 years and whatnot, and gold tones and all that stuff. And
so did you go to school with Brian Ashton? Because I thought he played trumpet, too.
I don't remember how old he was or what class.
He's a little younger than us.
Yeah, because I graduated in 93. I don't remember when. I don't remember the name.
Yeah, he's 40, so he graduated.
He would have been before or after me, so.
Yep, I just know that he's a trumpet player.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where everyone's like, oh, why don't you still play? I'm like, if you haven't done it, I'm sure it's not there. It's like, I know how I used to play. But
yeah, it's hard.
To get back into it, it's not going to happen.
That is something you have to just keep up with.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yep.
So
we'll get into a little bit about your Facebook page.
Okay.
So on your About page, it says the purpose is to highlight business growth, small business owners, and matter of interest for local residents. Could you tell us a little bit why you started it? What inspired you to start the page?
That's a good question. Do I have a good answer for that? The thing with me, there's never one straight answer that I can give you. There's the creative side of me. So I came up with this and I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. This will be kind of unique. There was my whole motivation of bringing attention to State Road, so I figured that this would be a good way. I know, and I haven't met Chuck yet, but I must have crossed a line somewhere on his page.
Yep.
So I know that my posts were no longer being, I was no longer able to put them on Talk of the Town anymore.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So, I mean, initially all my posts were there, but then they got taken down. I don't know why, but yeah. There was a lot of entertainment, I guess, for people to see what was going on. But, I mean, and I'm not trying to say this to put Chuck in a bad light at all. So, you know, there was that reason. It just came to me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So on the recent post on Spotlight of Cuyahoga Falls, you said that your feelings have changed towards Cuyahoga Falls. Could you give us a little more information? What has changed since you started this page?
Okay, so I've always liked Cuyahoga Falls, so I don't want it to sound like I've hated it here, then all of a sudden now I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But as on my page I wrote, initially, before I started this, Cuyahoga Falls was just a place that I lived. You know, I have a beautiful home. I'm a lucky man. It was just kind of, you know, I lived here and I went to Hudson and that was my life. I never ventured outside of Grant Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started Facebook or started Spotlight, you know, all of a sudden I've had people get in contact with me and I've got to know people, you know, people that I would not have met otherwise. And that's been really something that's been a great experience for me. Is being able to meet people outside of my circle.
Right.
I'm very big into that, and I like all kinds of personalities. You know, I think it's extremely boring to sit and talk with someone that thinks exactly the same way as you think.
I definitely agree, and I think that that is something that, you know, we share, because when we started the Falls Free Press and now the Falls Cast, I am not a native Cuyahoga Falls person. I, you know, was...
It's hard to break in, isn't it?
From my husband, yeah. And at first I was like, I did not want to move to Cuyahoga Falls because I didn't grow up in Stowe, but that is where my children went to school, and that's where I was pretty much stationed. So when you think of Cuyahoga Falls as a person from Stowe, you don't think too highly of it. So
Which is unfortunate.
It is very unfortunate. And when we moved, I was trying to desperately get back into Stowe. We looked at a few houses and stuff. And then I joined this pursuit of a bunch of people that said, hey, we want to spotlight more arts and the great things about the city and the businesses that we felt that was not being mentioned a lot, kind of like what you're doing. And I started to get to know people and started to see what great the city is with the diversity that we have and of the businesses. And I started, this is my place. This is my home now, and I would never want to leave because of that. So we do have a lot of that in common. I definitely understand.
There is nothing more rewarding than walking into Jubilee or the Hourglass or any of these places that I've spotlighted, and immediately I see the smile on the people's faces that I've talked with.
Yeah.
And they're happy to see me, and I'm happy to see them, and we can joke a little bit. It's been really rewarding.
Yeah. And there is a lot of small businesses that we have in Cuyahoga Falls. You mentioned a place that we have never heard of before, and that is a street taco place, which we are very excited to try. What was the name of the street taco place?
R&B.
R&B. Oh, why you ask me this?
We're gonna edit this part. I know.
R&G or R&B Street Tacos.
Street Tacos, yes.
Yes.
And now that
Roy
is...
Roy and his wife's name.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that what the R&B stands for?
Yeah.
Yes. We checked out the website, and we're definitely going to try it out. They are a small business owner, and they are first-generation immigrants. Is that what you...
Well, so I know that Roy is from Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I think that his wife is also first generation. She has a very strong accent. And from what Roy told me, I couldn't put this, of course, on my little video, but they live in Cleveland. They live on the west side of Cleveland. And his wife drives to Cleveland 4 times a day.
That's nuts.
They drive down to open up the business and get things prepped. And she drives back to take the kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
Drives back down to help her husband, then drives back up to pick her kids up from school, and then drives back down to help her husband, the kids help in the shop, and then when the shop closes, they all drive back up to West Cleveland.
Wow.
That's a commute.
That's a dedication to a business, that's for sure.
And they chose Cuyahoga Falls because they love it here. Because I did ask them, I'm like, why
Cuyahoga here?
Falls? And they like it here. They like the diversity. They said that they were looking for a place to live, and hopefully they can move in December. But then they also, Roy said something about they might have to sell. It depends on how things go with the business because, as we talked, they're in kind of a bad location. No one knows that they're there.
Yeah, there's a lot of corporate businesses up there, and so you don't really necessarily go drive down there looking for a place to eat or a small business. We interviewed Cuts and Kicks and Cuts. That is right around that area as well, and they do haircuts and they sell shoes, and so they are in a really weird area that you would not necessarily know about. And I remember driving by and I saw the Kits and Kicks and Cuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, there it is. So it is kind of hard when you're not looking for something to...
Well, I go to pass that area several times a day because my daughters go to Woodridge.
Okay.
And so, I drive to drop them off, and then I drive to Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drive to pick them up and come back, and usually there's an activity or something that they are in that I have to drive them back there. And it wasn't till... I saw, I think on Monday, a little advertisement on Facebook for street tacos. And I thought, I need to figure out where this place is.
Right.
And I completely forgot about it. And when I was driving home yesterday, I looked over to the side. I'm like,
street tacos.
This is where this place is.
Yeah.
So I go in and I talk with Roy. And of course, it takes some convincing, first of all, because I say, I'm here. I'd like to do a video. And it's free. And then I get to look like I have 3 eyeballs.
We understand. Yes.
Right. I'm like, no, seriously, it's free.
Yes.
And they want to know why I'm doing this for free. And I'm like, because I care about my community,
mm-hmm.
And I want to promote things in my community. I want to put positiveness into it. And this is something that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's relatively simple. That's fun for me, creative. And then I get to know people also, which is something I really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So then I usually have to pull out my phone. I usually have to show them a video of what I've done.
I swear we're legitimate. Right, yeah, I know.
Exactly. And then I've only had three businesses turn me down out of every place that I've stopped. But generally then they're convinced.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny. When you want to do something good sometimes, mm-hmm. people are like, wait a minute.
What's the catch?
Yeah.
What strings are attached?
Right, yeah.
We totally get that because we have, you know, we kind of have the same model as what you're trying to do. And probably even when I reached out to you, I'm sure you were like, who are you and why are you contacting me for this?
It wasn't so much that. It was more like, oh, are they going to try to nail me? That's the first thing I thought because I responded with, is this going to be positive?
Yes.
Because I have listened to a couple, and I can't say that anyone was ever, I don't want to say mean, but I wasn't mentioned in a bad light, but I know that I have been mentioned, you know, without my name, and I'm like, oh, is this like, they're going to try to get me, and how's this going to work? So.
Well, we can talk about a little bit about the way that you started with the South Road and
South State.
I'm sorry. I grew up with a place that was State Road.
Kick you out of my house.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was called State Street, and I always get confused on that. So, but you kind of felt like it was not being paid attention to. I mean, Front Street is amazing
wonderful.
And awesome
it's
and
wonderful.
Fantastic, but there is a lot of places like Chestnut and State that are being kind of, you know, it really appears that it's being neglected. I mean, we know because of talking that it's not necessarily being neglected. There is stuff in the talk, but people don't know that.
Right.
I mean, that is not something that is, you know, brought up and mentioned. So I'm assuming that's probably why you kind of started. You really were pushing for the city to start looking
right.
on.
Well, I mean, there's a couple reasons why I started. One, I'm not going to mention, but the empty buildings, of course, were something that pushed me. And I don't support vapor shops. And I saw the second vapor shop go in by my house, and then I was just, enough is enough.
Right.
And I know there's no such thing, how's the saying? There's no such thing as bad publicity. Is that the right saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that people, unfortunately, I don't know, unfortunately, but they like drama. And I knew what I needed to say to get everyone's attention.
Yeah.
And I did.
And it worked. Yeah.
So, you know, I look back and I have to say I was pretty unhappy, but I knew what needed to be done. And I just kept at it because I felt like I needed downtown to pay attention to me. And I felt like I needed the people of Cuyahoga Falls to pay attention to me. And I think it worked. I don't know that I would go back and change anything. Do I feel bad about a couple of things? I would say yes.
Well, I mean, we all do, right? I mean, you know, we've all made mistakes and, you know, definitely, you know, Falls Free Press is not, you know, perfect either. We
right.
have made mistakes and we
you
do
guys
have,
are not God.
We are. I know
no
that's
judgment.
Hard for you to believe.
No. We are
right.
It is.
Yes.
And we
yeah.
definitely are. We do have our opinions and our round table is very much our opinions on a lot of things.
Right.
But ultimately, we have the best interest in Cuyahoga Falls just like you do. And we truly believe that our, you know, Mayor Walters does as well. I mean, I think he's been a fantastic mayor. Is he perfect? No. I mean, there's things that we definitely would go head in head with too.
Right.
But what is your opinion on that?
Well, I would say every single person I have met personally loves Cuyahoga Falls
mm-hmm.
and cares about Cuyahoga Falls.
Yep.
They just all have different personalities. And they all see different priorities, right? I think, I guess, you know, I saw on Facebook a lot of people attack Mary Stemple. And I don't like that. And the reason being, it's not because she was the Republican candidate or whatever. It is because she cares about Cuyahoga Falls deeply. And so I guess I kind of felt like it was an attack on Cuyahoga Falls also.
Hmm.
You know, you have this woman that's putting herself out there for criticism, and people are just being as nasty as possible.
Yeah.
You know, let's figure out a way to even be nastier.
Yeah.
And I just, that's not the kind of person that
I am. Social media definitely has given people the opportunity to be the little keyboard warriors and be able to stand be, you know, back and not, it's not that they would do on social media that they would never do face to face. I mean, right. You would not interact with that. I mean, we have tossed around ideas sometimes, you know, would we ever want to run for city council or school board? And we both agree, like, I couldn't handle it. Right. I mean, I could not put myself, I don't have that kind of personality. So anybody that could do that, I give them full credit because they are asking to open up this big area, well, like a shitstorm, excuse my French, but it's like, I would not be able to handle it. So I give credit for anybody that can do it.
I don't know if you remember my initial, you know, post on Chuck's site, but I just, first of all, my thing is don't engage. And second of all, encourage people to use the right of free speech. Even though I don't like their free speech, and I think it's terrible.
Yeah.
But the minute I tell someone not to do that, they're going to do it.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I don't remember what our original question was with this, but that was for, you know, for example, I just didn't like the way people treated Mary Stemple or, you know, a lot of the candidates on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, I was hard on Mayor Walters. Well, I was hard on Mayor Walters because I know he's liked, mm-hmm. and I needed attention,
yeah.
you know, and I got it. I'm not quite sure I'd be sitting here being interviewed if I didn't do
correct.
What I did.
Yep.
You know, I got a text message from Mike Brillhart, you know, 10 minutes before we sat down. I don't think that I would be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a text message a few days ago from Russ Balthus saying that he's going to Jubilee Donuts today because he saw my video. He was originally on his way to Dunkin' Donuts, but decided that he wanted to and support somewhere local. I wouldn't have had, you know, Diana Calavecchio sitting in my sunroom like you two are, or Brian Ashton or Evan Perot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've just met, or Warren Capps, you know, he's never been over, but, you know, I would never have met the diversity of people that I've met if I didn't do what I did, the way I did it.
Well, it shows a passion for Cuyahoga Falls. I mean, you know, I'm sure that we could sit and find things that we disagree with, but I think that I have 100% respect for the fact that you're putting yourself out there and talking about the businesses that desperately need our help. That, you know, we're all going through a really hard time just with this pandemic, and there was a lot of focus on, you know, Front Street, and rightfully so, it's beautiful. But there's so many other local businesses and the bakeries and the, you know, the food places and, you know, the Hourglass Boutique, which is, you know, for people of, you know, women for plus size, that's right on there. And it's very difficult to find clothes for women plus size. And you're like, you walk in and you're like, oh my gosh, this is great.
I don't know if you saw that little video.
I did.
And those two women that I talked with.
So sweet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, this is awesome.
It is. And it's very, I mean, you just, I have not, I mean, we understand what you're saying, where there's some people that are very hesitant about wanting to talk to you or do a video, because anytime I'm going into a business and I get a good feeling from somebody, I'd be like, hey, you know, I'm with the fault, you know, how would you like to talk to us? And they're like, you know, why, you know,
kind of thing. It's so, like, what do you want from me?
You know, speaking of that, could you tell me maybe, you know, like a funniest moment you might have had with doing this? Because I know we've had some, you know, funny moments.
Well, I think if you watch me, I mean, I have to edit a lot of this, but every time I talk with someone, we usually find something to laugh about. Let me put it this way. There has not been one person I've met that I have not enjoyed fully talking with and not walked away laughing about something. So to narrow it down to one,
it'd be difficult, huh?
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
So I just think about every single person I've talked with, and I've enjoyed every word.
Has there been anything that, like, completely surprised you? When you went in there, you had this, you know, you thought this one way, and it, you just came out of there just completely surprised.
The Golden Dragon.
Okay.
Yeah. The story about him in Cambodia. Mm. Really, it was just
hard.
It was hard.
Yeah.
So I actually,
it was a difficult story to hear and to meet somebody. I mean, there's a lot of, you see it on the news or you hear stories about it or there's movies about it or whatever, but to meet somebody and talk about it, it was difficult to watch too. So I can't imagine what it was like to actually be there.
Right.
I mean, very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hate to tear up, but
absolutely.
But he was telling me that his dad had stepped on a landmine, and his uncle, and you know, his mom brought him and his four siblings through the jungle, and you know, I just.
It's just, yeah. That's a hard one. I agree. I know. Okay, let's move on.
I know I'm going to tear up.
I know.
Like, oh, God. I know I'm not going to tear up. Thank God no one can see me.
We had a camera
over there. Yeah, sorry. We did. We're sorry. We're putting that on camera.
So,
as you can tell,
though, you know, as I've mentioned lots of times, you know, some of my writings, you only got to see what you wanted to see.
Yeah.
Not really who I am.
That's the thing about being behind a lot of times a screen, where you really don't know the person and what their intention was that they're having and what is going on in their mind and why they're doing it. And that is one of the reasons why I felt pretty strong to sit down and talk to you, because I know that maybe 2 years ago, a year ago, we might have butted heads and we might have had, you know, but I have watched you and I'm like, well, this is a guy that actually really loves Cuyahoga Falls and wants to do pretty much the same thing we're doing.
Right.
So
I love people.
Yeah. I actually get a feeling of that, and I see that. And that is something that we feel the same way.
Right.
I mean, we are doing this because we love Cuyahoga Falls. We love Cuyahoga Falls people. We love what is here, so.
And, you know, I think it's hard sometimes for people to realize, because they want me to choose sides.
Yeah.
And I just can't, because I see goodness in everything.
Mm. And it is very difficult to, once you know somebody and you sit down and you're talking to them, to choose a side.
Right. That's why, you know, I've mentioned several times that I'm an unaffiliated voter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some reasons, you know, I believe that it's no one's business who I vote for, because that's my right as an American. But, you know, I guess I think my personality is a ENFP, and we hate to be boxed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. I hate to be pigeonholed, because I'm always listening to each side. And I don't know if you saw the one video I made, or the writing, I think it was, is that I always encourage people to vote for who represents them the best.
Yeah.
Because that's what our country is.
I, whatever. Yeah.
Right. You know, and that's what you should do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that you should vote for Democrats just because they're Democrats. I don't think you should just vote for Republicans because they're Republicans. I think that you should vote for the person that's going to represent you.
Yeah.
So.
Well said.
That's just my political philosophy.
Yeah.
It's my wife's political philosophy. And I know you said that we would probably talk about it a little bit. But a lot of people took my site as some kind of underground Republican, you know, whatever. And a lot of the Republicans on there are my friends. They're good people. They, you know, they care about the community as much as Mayor Walters does or whatever. And my site is open to anyone with ideas that can be respectful and that is intelligent.
Mm.
You know, I don't want people who are just there to cause divisive, to be divisive.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Divisive. But if you can make someone think, by all means, please write, because that's what I want. I want someone that'll make me think, because then I can respect you.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? It makes 100% sense, and I appreciate the sentiment, because it's definitely, it's something that we can all work on. I know that personally I'm more in a box, and my audio tech guy over here, i.e. husband, is more moderate, and he will a lot of times stretch me to think outside the box.
Yeah, we butt heads quite a few times.
A couple times, yeah.
We have differing viewpoints on things.
We do. We do. But we have a happy marriage, right? We have a happy marriage.
Yes, we do, dear. Yes, dear.
But, you know, it does help to kind of stretch that, you know, and I think that we have lost a lot of that with the whole social media aspect of it, because it's very easy to just think this person is a villain, not knowing them. Right. And I'm sure that, you know, when it first came out, we definitely probably thought, who is this guy, and what is, you know, who's, you know, attacking
our great city. You what's going on? Yeah, we do. Yes. Yeah, and it is. And it's true. Right. We do. And that's how we're kind of lean and we don't really hide it that much. But, I mean, I really wanted to sit down and talk to you because I'm like, who is this guy? I started watching your videos and I'm like, this guy is really, I mean, I watched the video with the mayor and I'm like, you were respectful with him and you let him talk. And I'm like, this guy's not evil. He's not
an evil person. I'm quite the opposite.
Like, what is his story? Why did he start this?
Yes. Well, as I said, I work for the church and, you know, I just believe every person has dignity.
Yeah.
And every single person should be respected.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you do what you got to do to call attention to a problem. Mm. And, like I said before, Brian Ashton and I kind of talked about it. I was going to include it in the video, but then we redid the video and whatever. He doesn't believe that I had to go the route that I did, which I respect. He's allowed to be wrong. but I honestly believe that I know and I believe the mayor that South State Road has been something that's been looked at and whatever. I totally believe that. I'm not quite sure it would be front and center right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel confident. I have hope. You know, the mayor has promised that there's going to be funds allocated for marketing. Diana Calavecchio has said the same thing, and I've, you know, gained some great respect for her also. You know, when I did the interview with her, first of all, it was really kind of her to come over. It was 9 o'clock at night. She didn't have to do that. But then afterwards, she stayed probably for 40 minutes and gave me some advice on, some legal advice on my father's estate. You know, she didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
She could have been like, you know, look, you're the guy who harassed me
I know.
for a long time
yeah.
and poked at me and everything else. But she was very professional. And I hopefully, as she got to know me, she got to know that I'm actually a good guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you may have, I mean, like I said, we may have differing opinions on certain things, but that doesn't mean that we aren't trying to get to the same goal.
Right. You know, it kind of, it's interesting. There's, you know, I guess you guys would be the first to know it, but how that all came about was I called Peggy Zalay, and I apologized to her.
Hmm.
Then Diana, the next day, I think, wrote me an email saying that you've reached out to us. We'd like to reach out to you.
That's a lot. That's very nice. And I think that there is so much anger in our country right now that if we could do more of that and reach out and sit down and just talk to each other face to face, like adults, right?
Right.
I mean, instead of like children, you know, trying to one up one another. So,
yeah.
And have constructive disagreements.
Right.
And not necessarily trying to tear down the person as a person.
Right.
You know, just say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but here is my opinion and
everyone
all this different stuff.
Everyone deserves respect.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wrote it a couple of days ago. Everyone has a place at the table.
Hmm.
Doesn't mean I want to sit next to you.
Right.
I mean, there are some of my siblings that I don't want to sit next
sure.
to.
Sure.
I love them. I care about them.
Yes.
But everyone should have a place and everyone should be fed.
Yep.
And everyone should be respected.
What a wonderful sentiment right before we're going into the Thanksgiving holiday where a lot of us will have to sit at the dinner table with our, you know, family that we may or may not disagree with.
Right.
You know, yes, so,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, what's that saying? Don't build a higher wall, build a longer table.
Yes, that actually is the closet of
caring
that she has, and that kind of stuck with me. I know that's an older saying. She didn't come up with it.
I've never
heard of it. So,
really?
You know,
okay.
Educated
well,
me today.
Yeah, it's just something that...
And I know you guys lean more left,
mm-hmm.
As you admitted,
mm-hmm.
I hate that we have to label ourselves
yeah.
as left and right.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't we? Like, I just want to be Mark.
Yeah.
That's who I am, is Mark.
That's a great point.
I, you know, I've had people on both sides say, you know, have you thought about running for council or whatever? And I don't know that I could pick a side.
Run as an independent. We need more independence.
Yes. Yeah. Just
that could be your tagline right,
right.
there. I am Mark.
Right. Because there are things on both sides that I agree with
mm-hmm.
that I think are wonderful. And there are both things on both sides that I think are just absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And that's for me to pick. I just couldn't do it.
Right.
At least let me say that. Right now in my life. So if I ever decide to run.
In two years.
Right, exactly. And I choose to be whatever.
This is my disclaimer
right here.
Let's go back to that recording
right,
we heard
exactly.
Him say.
I know somewhere.
So if the city came to you and said, here is $5 million. You can do anything you want to help Cuyahoga or the state road. I'm trying very hard
right.
To make it bigger. What do you think you would do with that? You have now you talk to businesses, you've kind of figuring out what they need.
Well, so the practical stuff, which is something that's very hard for me because I'm an artist and I just don't think practical. That's what my wife is for. she thinks with her head, I think with my heart. And, you know, it was interesting when I was talking with Russ Balthus, and we were sitting there and in Donato's, and I was looking out the window, and I said something about, you know, I see all kinds of different possibilities or whatever. And Russ said to me, he said, I see a process. And I thought, that we have to start with the foundation first, which is something that honestly I'm not good at doing. But I think one part of the foundation that I can understand that businesses have communicated to me is parking. And it doesn't sound, you know, I guess the word sexy.
No.
It's not, it's like, you know, but, hey, let's go put a new roof on something.
Right.
But you can't stay in business if you don't have parking. And from my understanding, like that's why Chowder House went out of business is because there's no parking. I know a lot of places struggle. Central Graphics, they struggle because there's no parking. And so I think that's something seriously needs to be looked at. I like the idea of reconfiguring the street to match what Akron's doing as far as adding a bike lane and, you know, maybe kind of a lot of what Brian Ashton said, I'll just steal from them,
okay.
You know, making it more pedestrian friendly and less intimidating. You know, one of my daughter likes to ride her bike up to CVS to get tea or whatever. And I worry because State Road is so busy, I worry about her crossing the road. And, you know, there are a couple of the, I don't know what they are, you push them for the light to change and whatever.
Crosswalk.
Yeah, crosswalk things. And there are a couple that don't work. And, you know, so it does concern me a little bit about her safety. You know, we have a variety of people that do come in that concern me. I'm trying to phrase this in a nice way to figure out, I worry about the safety of my daughter. Mm. You know, I don't think that anyone should ever be rounded up and thrown out. But, you know, we do have some problems with that. I didn't realize that we had homeless people coming into, you know, on the state road area in the evening. I was riding my bike one night, and I think I saw 3 or 4 homeless people, and I was really just kind of taken back. Because as you see, when you come into my neighborhood, you would never imagine that this is here,
right.
You know, if all you knew was state road. And so I live in a bubble. And so when I started, I guess, this whole project and started to learn more, that was one of the things that I learned, was that we do have homeless people, and we need to care for them, but we need to make sure we keep everyone safe. We need to make sure that they're safe. We need to make sure that, you know, people who are on State Road are safe, too.
Right.
So back to the $5 million. As you can tell, as you know, like talking to an artist, this is how I go all over the place. But, you know, it's really not for me to decide. It's really for the businesses and the neighborhoods to decide.
Yeah.
Those are just the two practical things that I would think of, is that this isn't Mark Falls. This is Cuyahoga Falls.
Right.
So
the parking, though, is something that we have had many discussions about, because, I mean, personally, I agree with you that State Road is not talked about enough, because we drive down here and there are so many businesses here, but the parking is horrific. I mean, it's like, I would love to be able to go visit this place, but where am I going to park?
Right.
My husband is part of the martial arts whatever that place is that's
World,
on.
World Kickback.
Oh, next to Sherman Williams. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Used to be the hardware store.
Yes. And there's no parking. He's like, where do we park? Because when they moved there, that was his first thing.
That was the big thing. It was, you know, I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. They do Muay Thai on the other side. And the big thing was, where are we going to park? You know, because you have Village Gardens right there. You have the Asian shop. I forget the name of it.
Asian Market.
Asian Market, yes.
My daughter loves that. Right. I told you that was the place she would go. She's right. Very much into it.
And where do you park?
Right.
You know, it's very difficult, you know, and especially if somebody's doing a seminar, you know, you may have 30, 40 people show up.
Right.
Where are you going to park those vehicles? You know?
And so that's one of the challenges that I don't know how you overcome.
And that's my opinion with that is, I mean, and I would love to see State Road, something happen to it, but it's like, how do you do it? Because you have so much different architecture all throughout, you know, in these little sections, because these buildings were all put up at different times. How do you, like, unify everything kind of like they did with Front Street, you know? And that's difficult. And where do you physically put parking, you know, on a four-lane highway, you know, or roadway? But I believe
that there are people that are far smarter than myself that can figure it out. Because when they first started talking about opening up Front Street again, I thought that was like the stupidest idea ever. I was not for it. I'm like, why would you want to open this up? It makes zero sense. But when they did...
I dared you to put that on Facebook.
Yeah. Be like, what? Well, I'm putting it on the podcast, Bart. You don't have to edit that. I will admit to that. But I was proven wrong. And, you know, I know that they went to all these different states to look to see how they were doing it. And I am a firm believer that if they could do that on Front Street, that they can do that on State. I mean, there is stuff that can be done, and I really do hope. And
well, I think that the marketing firm that the mayor has committed to, and Diana Calavecchio, Brian Ashton, everyone that I've talked to, really, I mean, has given me great hope. I mean, I think that that's going to be their job, is to say, how do we make this work?
Right.
How do we change this? Because the city has been successful with Front Street, has been successful with Portage Crossings. Mm-hmm. There's just so much success everywhere. We just got to make sure we're paying attention to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know that South State Road is, you know, not glamorous. It's like putting a new roof on something, right? But it can be glamorous. The possibility is there because there's glamorous people.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't mean, I mean, there's already great businesses down there. And we have to work at keeping them and giving them the access to more customers. So I look forward and we will definitely, you know, keep Walters to his word. We'll talk to him about it. And Do you hear that, Don?
Yes, in 4 years, trust me.
I'm sure he listens to us religiously,
yes,
so I'm sure he hears
years,
it.
4 years. I promise I sent him an email. I said that, you know, I'm not going to criticize. I'm done with that because the world has so much negativity right now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that voice. It's not even who I am.
Yeah.
And I said, you're not going to hear any criticism from me. Because I just want to work with whoever's in office. I don't care who's in office. However, in 4 years, you think I was bad a few months ago?
I'm going to hold you to this.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's like you said. I mean, we've talked to the mayor before, and like everyone always points out the Ponderosa that used to be there. Big, vacant, empty building. But as he has said, he contacts the owner every month, you know, trying to do something with it. Unfortunately, I mean, it's not a blighted property. He takes care of it, this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's a pain point right now, but it's like, what can we do, you know, with that if somebody's taking care of it? It's not like when they did Portage Crossing where that whole strip mall was.
So I have to be honest with you. I have given too much of my life and too much talk to the man who owns that building that I don't care. I'm going to move on. No, that's, and I kind of basically said the same thing to the mayor. It's like, you know what? There's more to State Road than Ponderosa.
Right.
And I don't care.
I'm just saying that as like, you know, everyone wants to point that out.
Right. So like, everyone that's pointing that out, there's more to State Road.
Yes,
than
there
Ponderosa.
Is.
There's a lot more. And it's like, you know, and they tried down by Acme, you know, putting in the little sidewalks and the brick pathways and stuff. It's like, okay, that was like a little Band-Aid. But what
I think
else
it looks nice,
do?
Too. Right?
It looks nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I admit it looks great, but it's like, okay, how do we extend that? And, you know, how do we unify that? You know, and like you guys are, you know, my wife and yourself, you're like, I got a great idea. I have this giant picture, and I'm the artist. I'm like, and I'm the guy who's always like, okay, in order to do this, we need to do this, this, this,
you're
this,
Russ Balthus.
Yes. I'm like, I'm, you know, she's
that
like,
that is our house issue, too. Because yeah, I'll be like, I have this great idea. Like, well, he's right. Like, oh, but we'll have to, you know,
great plumbing.
I'll be like,
do
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just do it.
I'm like, I'm looking at the background and everything that needs to be done to it. And I'm like, there's a lot involved more than just doing this. But yes, I want to get here. I do want to get here, you know.
But I don't want to do all the middle stuff. I just want to make it happen.
You asked me, I know, I said it's really not up to me, which, of course, it's not. But I've often thought it would be really interesting, just because of the diversity of businesses and restaurants, to kind of make this some kind of an international street.
Yes.
Something like that, just because it fits, right?
Oh, I like
even
that.
Just like coming back from Dunkin' Donuts, you know, we're coming down that little back alleyway, and it's like, you know, she's like, oh, it's one way. I'm like, oh, it's not. Even that right there is a piece of property that you could utilize to some way, shape, or form. How you do it, I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But that could be a really, I like that.
That alley
I
goes
like
all
that
the way
international
down.
Kind of,
mm-hmm.
And that would be like the destination to go to try different types of foods and, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, if you just think about all the restaurants that go,
yeah.
they're all very international oriented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's just an idea that I had thought of, you know, along the way, that could be our international strip in Cuyahoga Falls.
Love it. Do you hear that, Mayor? Write that down.
The international corridor.
Right.
Sure,
oh,
he's
I didn't put the word corridor, but I
like
that.
You like
too.
That?
Gateway.
That, right?
International.
Well, yeah,
gateway.
Yeah.
We got. Yeah. We could have like a. Oh man, we got this figured out.
Yeah,
we got it.
So
we can
figure
it.
Put all the different countries' flags on.
Yes.
I like the gateway.
Yes.
I like the gateway aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, solving world problems right here.
It's gateway.
Who knew with Mark Ludwig? The man that some people hate.
Yeah. Just sit and talk to him, people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've come to the end of our interview, and it's been really fun to talk to you. But I'm afraid I'm now going to have to throw you a hardball. Question, and our listeners have come to really expect this, so I need you to prepare yourself. This is the most
okay.
difficult.
My blood pressure's
up high. I know,
like,
it's kind of scary.
What's
and
that?
People are either going to love you or hate you after you answer this question. Oh. Okay, what is your favorite restaurant in Cuyahoga Falls?
Oh, okay, so if it depends on what I'm in the mood for,
okay.
So I think that's my disclaimer,
right?
All right,
yeah, that's
fair.
Okay. Absolutely fair.
So Saturday morning, if I can have a date
mm-hmm.
with my wife, it's Blue Door.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's our Saturday morning date. My wife and I, growing up, you know, we would go to Hibachi's for lunch. So, but then Mexican, we have some, like, great Mexican restaurants. It's like hard. It was still last night we went to the street taco place, but the night before that we went to Holy Frijoles. And we went to the street taco place just because I ran into them, and I'm like, oh, I got to support these people.
Sure.
So if I want kind of like heart attack food, I guess I would say Molly Brown's.
Oh, okay.
So if I want kind of like normal breakfast, Village Gardens.
Oh, yes.
Solid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have a problem on Monday. Monday's my day off, and I spend the day with my youngest daughter. And I go to Bob Evans down in Stowe. And the only reason why I go there is I made friends with the waitress. And she knows all my girls by name. And, you know, I know her and whatever. But I would love to go to one of these restaurants on State Road. But I can't do that to Patty.
Yeah.
She expects me every Monday
yeah.
to be there. So
she would worry about you.
She does.
Yeah.
It's just you weren't here last week. And I said,
yeah.
well, I had to, you know, do X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
So, but... So I like them all. I guess that's my answer.
Okay, yeah.
Is that there isn't one that I don't like. Like this morning, I decided that I have to work on my diabetes, and I stopped at Pilates
okay.
to get something with sugar. Because I don't have diabetes. That was a dry sense of humor joke
yeah,
that
was,
I have. So
you didn't see his face, but
right,
we kind of,
yeah,
it was
exactly,
a
sense of humor.
Wink, wink, we got
right,
to work on
right.
it, yeah.
So, but I also like McDonald's in the morning.
Yeah.
Just because I like their peppermint iced coffee. But there's a lady that works there. Her name's Sunday. And she's the kindest, happiest person that you can meet any morning.
Yeah.
And so
that's
why I go there.
That's very difficult to be nice in the morning for
well,
me
so,
at least.
Like, no matter how long the line is, no matter how frustrating it is sometimes, when I get up to the window and she's there,
yeah.
it makes my day. Well, I mean, lots of things make my day, but she's one of them.
I cannot argue with any of the ones that you said, and I agree. And I really appreciate you sitting down and taking a chance and talking to us. I'm sure it was a little crazy. I reached out to you yesterday, and you so kindly made it work to sit down and interview us, or and let us interview you, and just really appreciate it. And I'm glad that we got a chance to talk, and people get to know you a little bit more, that you are not evil. He's actually nice. So, right. And we can definitely sit and discuss and figure out. I mean, if the city council wants us to come up with great ideas like we were doing, you know, we're available. Yeah, yeah. We can figure it out.
So I actually try to be a good person.
Yeah, well, you know, I can tell, and we appreciate that.
Well, thank you for taking the time to, you know, do this, and I guess maybe even give my side of the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
we always want to hear the other side of the story.
Right.
Like you said before, it's so easy to pick a side and just hate somebody for no reason. You
right.
know? And we should be able to agree to disagree if there's a...
Well, to hate someone because they have an R or a D behind their name is something I will never understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Nope. So, but thank you.
Well, yes. Thank you. That was well said, and that was a great ending to it. So, thank you very much.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes. Hopefully we'll get this out before Thanksgiving, you know, and... Yeah.
If not, that's okay.
We hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Right, exactly. Hopefully you made it through your relatives that you can't see.
Yeah, food coma.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
FallsCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
Denzit.
More cowbell. More cowbell.
Oh my God, it's Santa!
It's Santa! I know him!
You sit on a throne of lies. You smell like beef and cheese.